I would say, you know, we often say how the spiritual life is a divine lila or a divine play, and God is just playing. Don't take it too seriously. It's like going to a movie, that kind of thing, to help us have a little perspective of, you know, we are a soul and a spine, and the drama's going on out here. And we've been commenting in our community lately how Divine Mother is a perfect playwright. And we have this challenge, as you all know, about buying our Ananda community and trying to raise enough money for the for us to buy it from the owners who have it now. And this last weekend we had Hriman and Padma, two of our spiritual directors from Seattle, come down. And they had already on the schedule something to talk about Friday night called communities. And how, you know, so they shared their life of leading a community, challenges that they've had, how they struggled, and how they have now, it's 30 years long or something.
Maybe.
Something like that. So we were doing that. And then, you know, I noticed the reading tonight was community. And here we are this morning in our little staff meeting, you know, of the managers, the leaders of Ananda, kept together every Tuesday morning. We meditate together, which is the Ananda way, before you have a meeting. We have an hour meditation. We have chanting meditation. Then we have sharing and what's happening, who's doing what, and laughter and all this. And so the subject was community. And we brought out this book that someone had recommended for what everyone was getting pretty serious about this, because we really love this community. It's going to be pretty hard to find any place else that's anything like it. So there's it's a spiritual test and a challenge for everybody, and so we're all finding our places in it. And we've struggled back and forth with it, and a friend of mine said, well, you should see this book Dr. Seuss called Horton Hears a Who. Some of you are nodding here. And I heard Dr. Seuss, and I had a few handfuls. I don't know, many of you from another country haven't. But Dr. Seuss is actually quite brilliant. He's quite wise. He's quite warm and loving, kind of a soul. And so anyway, he wrote this story. So we were sort of at a standstill in our meeting, like, what do we do now? You know, we've made our offer. You know, we're doing our best. And what's next? And what do we do? And so we're trying to break through that. And there was sort of this feeling in the room, like, we don't know where to go. You know, we don't know what to do next. I mean, we're doing all these things. It's all moving forward. But it's like, we got to do more. And we don't know what the more is. And so to break that sort of energy, Tandava, you guys know Tandava.
Yes.
Well, he's an amazing dramatist. He's so fun. And he's so childlike and wise that I had a copy of the book with me because a friend had recommended it. And I looked around the room, and everybody was sort of grim, you know. And I said, Tandava, would you like to read this book for us? And he said, sure. So he reads this book, and we're laughing and enjoying each other. And then from that joy started flowing some solutions, what things we can do, how we can celebrate what we have and be grateful. You know, we were getting back in our right attitudes again, from being a little bit, what's next, to solution consciousness was starting to happen. But we needed to get the joy going again. And that's a lot of what community does. It just helps us remember, what are we doing here? We're here for Ananda, for joy. So let's not get too serious about anything. We have to do our best in everything we do, our work, our relationships, our children. We all have to do our best. But keep that joy alive. And that's what community kind of helps us do, in addition to helping us stay really strong in our sadhana. So it's really interesting that this trend that Yogananda brought of world brotherhood colonies, and that theme that, you know, Kriyananda picked up as a blueprint for the new age of living around people who actually support your spiritual life. Because, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I grew up, we had a church, so we all had people at least once a week. I went to school, Catholic school, so there were a lot of people around who were saying, I believe in God, no, or something else. I believe that there's a higher life. I believe I want to live in that kind of higher consciousness of that life. And so, you know, you go into the general office today, it's getting better. I mean, some people are doing yoga postures and some are, starting to try to learn to meditate. You know, there's a movement going, but still, it's not like you go to work and you're just instantly uplifted in your spiritual path. You know, it's more your, you know, your.
I hear some snickers about that idea.
Yeah, kind of. You know, I worked in offices after living at Ananda for a long time in many of the Bay Area things. I needed to make some money to pay debts, and so I know a little bit of what it's like to be a devotee, to be really loving meditation and feeling that joy in meditation, and then going into the corporate bhav where everybody has, well, the ego is the thing, you know, for many people. I mean, it isn't like I want to release the hold the ego has on me, which is one of our affirmations. It's like, I want to have more ego and bigger ego, and then we have, you know, certain leaders in the world that sort of epitomize that right now. So, you know, it's like our spiritual lives in the beginning, and he talks about how important it is in the beginning, because we're a little bit like little tender plants, you know, we're nurturing this part of our sensitive soul nature, we're wanting it to unfold, and it's like a little flower. And you go out into the world, and more likely than not, somebody with some kind of heavy boot or something's just going to step on you. I mean, it's, you know, it's not conducive to let's all rise in the spirit, you know, all the time. So this concept of spiritual community and being creative with it, there's online community at Ananda, which allows you to touch in. But for people who live within a driving distance, I would say anytime you can. And I'd like to hear from some of you who have been doing it, what it does for you. Just come around. It doesn't matter what class title it is. It doesn't even really matter who's teaching it. You'll have your favorite teachers. It doesn't even matter if it's something like, surprising enough, a pancake breakfast that we're going to put on June 15th in the morning, which you're all invited to come.
It's absolutely.
Nominal fee for, you know, it's a breakfast.
Right, it's in the middle of the community, not here.
It's in the community. But, you know, just go there. And feel what it's like to be around people who are all, you know. How have you felt, Divya, being in the community? I mean, you've been one who's dipped in. She wants to live there, and you're probably going to at some point.
I don't know. I hope to.
But yeah. You've done a number of things already over there. What was that like when you and your husband were doing things at various Ananda events and stuff?
It's, first of all, it's very uplifting in the sense that I never feel tired by after any of it. If I do the same amount of work elsewhere, I'm pretty sure I'll be like, you know, we're really exhausted because like there's like a lot of interaction that happens. When I do it in the community or the church, I never feel, I don't know, maybe it's like the thing that you were saying, that ego and all. Maybe it's that lack of ego and everything. It's very uplifting. I don't feel like burdened by anything that I'm doing. And I feel like, and I'm totally okay doing anything that anyone wants me to do there. But I don't think so. I can say the same when I'm outside. I'm a very different person outside. Like, I don't think so anyone will believe like the kind of work I do here. Yes.
Why do you think it's different? What do you think makes it different for the two environments? Any idea?
I think it is. I think part of it is also no one here is like thinking about. It's not. It's more selfless here. Then outside it's more like ego that, oh yeah, it's for my benefit, or like what is it in for me, and here it's less of that. So I think that's a big part of it.
How about you, Jeff? You've been hanging around a while, dipping your toe into different things. What is it like being in spiritual company versus
I think for me the main thing is the help and the support that I got here. I've never experienced that anywhere else. I can't talk about other communities, but you know, like I just have to shoot out a question and somebody's, you know, that's what I was thinking this morning, the amount of help that I've got. You know, it could be anything, you know, like I need a chant, I know that I can reach out and I can get it. And I think that has been the biggest thing. And nobody ever forced me to, you know, like you need to do this or do that. They, you know, it was always like a welcome, but you know, they said that try it out and see how it feels for you. So there was always a support without being pushed. You know, so that's where I felt very safe. The community, probably not right now, but I find my solace in feeling like, you know, you can, I think I just, you know, like for my own, you know, situation, I feel like it's fine to be where you are, you know, if you have God in your heart.
There you go.
That's the best thing,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, you can be in a spiritual community, but if you're really not devoted, it doesn't matter. Swamiji talks about it in one tape. I said, I need to remember that for now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Community is a support.
It is.
But you can have dead energy even in the middle of a spiritual community. Happens all the time in Catholic monasteries. People have lost their calling, and yet they're still wearing the habit and residing in a cell. But that doesn't mean they've got their heart still alive with spiritual yearning. And you still got to keep that alive, no matter where you are geographically.
When I first came to Ananda, and I loved to meditate, but I wasn't, you know, my life structure wasn't such that I was doing it as much on my own. So I would just come, I would always be taking a class at Ananda. I would come and I would sit in the class and I would listen to the person, but I would only listen to the person and I would put my attention here. And I had some very lovely meditations just in the middle of class. You know, I wasn't learning the concepts and I was maybe hearing the story with one ear, but mostly I was tuning into the vibration in the room. And I would just use that time to meditate. So there, you know, meditate during classes. I don't know if we should post that because the teachers might say, "Wait a minute, everybody's got their eyes."
We better erase that part from the tape.
But anyway, we all will find our ways. But just being creative, I think, is part of what it is.
Something I want to add. I like the image that you said about like being like a little plant being nurtured, because I have the feeling that it's a vibration. For me, that I am able to notice immediately when I'm, you know, anywhere in Ananda. The village is really great.
Absolutely. It's the best community we have.
Yeah. Exactly. And I have tried to meditate at my office at work. Vibration is weird. So I cannot.
It's harder in that kind of setting. You got to have a lot of willpower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think I've met a few people from Ananda who's been doing this for a long time. They don't talk about oh, I do this and that. It's just how they interact with you, their vibration, the energy that they have, how they express that in the faces, the body language. That's really nice. Right?
Very authentic.
Mm-hmm. 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 And happy. Right?
I think the happiness is the more core part. I remember the first day I came here, I was like, not upset, but I was like, oh my God, my husband has been coming here and he didn't bring me here.
He came for three months.
He was cheating on me.
He came for 3, 4, or 5 months without you before you ever came. Right?
And he didn't want to push her or, you know, make her feel she had to come or anything. He was being very respectful.
Yeah,
so
when you
discover.
I'm not saying that, I'm more spiritual than him, but I definitely had been meditating more before him, and I was like, I was very surprised. I'm like, how did you not think of bringing me?
He needed to discover on his own. You know, it's often that way. I mean, it's a very independent thing.
He's a little more private that way, I think, because when he's still exploring, he doesn't want me to then enforce
him. Yeah.
But yeah,
and he made it his own, and then he finally said, "Well, you might like this too."
And here's a pop quiz kind of question about all the environment and things we're talking about now, about spiritual communities and Yogananda's thinking get together. There's a phrase, and I guess I'm going to pretty much give it away anyway, but the phrase is environment is stronger than, and what's the last word?
Willpower.
Yeah. So, willpower is expressed on here, and that's really important. I mean, you have to have it. I mean, it's like tense with will, relax and feel. You've got to have the will to get yourself seated, to get the time to, willpower is a big one. But the relax and feel part is also it. And for me, it's always been easier to relax and feel when I was around like-minded people, because I've always been kind of sensitive to the room. So anyway.
It's okay to have an affair of the heart with Ananda, and to let that be resting upon a particular person, as long as you look at them through your third eye, invite them to look at you through their third eye.
That's right.
I found it to be really energizing, because there are particular guru bhais of mine that I just when they're in the room, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
And when they're not in the room, I'm a little sad.
You know, it was the, I used to watch Asha when her spiritual teacher, Swamiji, would be down here in Palo Alto, or even when she was up in Ananda Village visiting us. You know, he would come down a few times a year and spend 3 or 4 days. And when he was in the room, she didn't say a word. She hardly moved. She was often sitting in the corner, kneeling in the corner, with her eyes closed, just tuning in, being in love with her spiritual teacher. And I used to watch that, you know, and I knew what she was like on her own when Swami wasn't around. She was a real powerhouse. But anytime he was in the room, she would just get real quiet and just be really sensitively tuning in to, you know, to the not even what he was saying, and certainly not anything about his personality. She was just tuning into somewhere deeper. So I think you're right. I think you got to be in love in an impersonal way if you really want to you know, go like a race car on the spiritual path.
And the tricky part, you know, many of us, I know, I personally related to Swami Kriyananda, and at the same time I'm reading this, you know, do not be personally attached to anyone, you know, and so I'm kind of going, you know, how do I work with this? But, you know, Yogananda gave the image, he said, there's only one guru and that's God, and all the great souls, you know, you come to them with your questions, with your thoughts, you tune into them vibrationally, they're tuning into God, and they take that vibration and that respect and that appreciation, whatever it is that comes to them, and they offer it up to God. And then God flows back through them into whatever they're doing, which is whatever they're doing. So keeping yourself honest that way, you know, that the instrument is there, the channel of God, these are all channels, and as Yogananda said, I'm not the guru, God is the guru. Well, he was one with God, so he's our guru, but he didn't want people to get attached to his personal form, his personality, his lovely eyes, you know, different things like that. Because he wanted, I remember, I just had a quick story when I was once, you know, I came to Ananda, I was younger then, and I found myself in the room with Swami Kriyananda, and I knew, you know, don't be too personal. I knew that was the goal and everything, so I was doing it, but I was recovering from a surgery, and my inhibitions were, you know, my social conduct was sort of a little more relaxed because I was still recovering from surgery. And I was in the room with him, and I just found myself, like, soaring in this great love. I just felt such love. And it was tricky, you know. It was for him, through him, from him. I mean, it was just love. But it was somehow connected to him in my mind. And I was working with it, he could tell, and, you know, but it was just such a feeling of flow. And he looked at me and he said, you know, very kindly, don't stop here, go all the way to God. You know, so that's what they all do. You know, so you can give it to them because they don't have an ego anymore. It's not going to make them fall. You can give it to them in that way. But they'll always remind you, you know, you're going for the infinite. So yeah, you know, I have friends at Ananda that if I'm ever like, ooh, I'm a little out of balance, I think of that person now. I just think of that person because I've had so many times with them. And somehow I feel like, this is how it would feel if I was with them. So I've learned that I have a few people. And if I really get in trouble, I go find them wherever they are. I make an appointment and I say, please, you know, I'm having this thing, or can you walk with me or sit with me? And I just tune into their vibration, ask them to pray with me. So yeah, we have special friends, you know, life after life. Yogananda said, by the time you're here and you're on this path, you've probably been together in a lot of different ways. You know, spiritual families do incarnate into the same spiritual family, because in the guru is the guru for every life from here to perfect freedom, when we really do find our guru. So we're going to be bumping into each other life after life. We already have bumped into each other. And sometimes that just makes us go, I remember that time when we were, you know, with the guru, and it was wonderful. I remember that time when we had a perfect marriage. Who knows? I remember that time you were my child. We may not have these conscious memories. Most of us don't have that past life thing that comes to us. But still, we recognize certain souls. Like, oh, you seem like my family.